Welcome to Discover Indie Film.
I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I am talking to Denise Cabanello, who just became the first person other than me to ever say welcome to Discover Indie Film. Now watch, it'll be a big request. And her co-writer and co-actor and co-producer of the film Forget Me Nots They Made Together, Robert Santi, is with us too.
Hello.
Hello.
And this is that we just had a nice long interview episode, and now this is the succinct episode for those of you with short attention spans. Each of these actors and producers and writers, everything, they're going to answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, limit 3, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. But before I have them answer, I mentioned Forget-Me-Nots. Denise and Robert made this great film, Forget-Me-Nots, and it is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. So if you're listening to this, you'll hear what great taste they have, and you'll know what inspired them to make Forget-Me-Nots. So go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, go to Season 3. If you want, go straight to Episode 10 and see Forget-Me-Nots. That is the pitch. And give it 5 stars. I normally say that then. Now I finally said it at the beginning. And which of you wants to share your favorite films first?
Denise?
I can go.
You go.
I love Shawshank Redemption. Cinderella Man. And, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Clueless.
Nice. Nice.
No, and I always point out, I don't always point it out, but I love what you did there, because the question is favorite films, which means films you just watch over and over and love. Doesn't mm-hmm. have to be Citizen Kane. It doesn't have to be things that you think are the most technically brilliant, blah, blah, blah. Clueless is wonderful.
Clueless it is. It's a classic.
It holds
classic.
Up.
That yellow plaid, come on.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, Robert, you want to give your... And by the way, of course, Shawshank and Cinderella Man. Wonderful picks. Wonderful. Just great story. You obviously love a story.
I love the triumph of the human spirit.
Well said.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, you want to give yours?
Yeah, you know, it's so hard for me to pick movies, because I just like... I have moments, right? And sometimes I'm like, this is my favorite movie. And then another times, this is my favorite movie. But the ones that have just like the most watchability for me, it's kind of in the Clueless realm, right? Like, it's Dumb and Dumber. You know, you have two fantastic actors that are just the funniest, like, comical characters that you could possibly have. And the best part of that movie is the fact that they are so dumb, but they think that they're smart, and that it's not something that you can do easily. Right. And that's why I love it so much, because I can watch it all the time. And it just, I like the jokes just still land to this day. Right. Same thing goes for, Mighty Ducks 2. Not so much Mighty Ducks 2. Not so much because of the comedic aspect, but that's like, I love hockey. The sport that I did end up playing was hockey, and I just grew up, you know, playing hockey. And that one is just the nostalgia of it all. And that trilogy is a fantastic trilogy, like, to come out of Disney. And since I love comics, X2, X-Men 2. It's always the sequels that, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not everyone does a sequel really well, but like, usually when a sequel follows like the original, it usually kind of falls short. But for these ones, the sequels actually, you know, take the original to the next level.
Did you say Dumb and Dumber 2 also?
No. That's one of those.
I was like, what?
I did not. No, I said the original Dumb and Dumber. Let's just stop it at there. I don't necessarily like to talk about the sequels or the prequels, as there was one of that too. But it's,
yeah, that was Dumb and Dumber-er.
Dumb and Dumber-er is the sequel to Dumb and Dumber. And I thought it was funny, but it's the original that just does it for me. That one is the most One, it was the most original, and two, it's just comedic genius. Like,
it's genius. And I love Jeff Daniels, right? Like, Jeff Daniels is this moderately serious actor most of the time. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it's like a boxing. What isn't it like watching a boxing match? And just, he is not going to let Jim Carrey be crazier or funnier than him.
Yeah. And I think I read somewhere, and I could be completely off base on this, but I read somewhere that when Jeff Daniels took that role, I think his reps and stuff like that, they were like, Jim Carrey is going to eat you alive. Like, I don't know if you can handle this movie. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. And it was a boxing match. He was like repartying with Jim Carrey to like the top of his game too. And this is like one of peak Jim Carrey at that point. And he holds his own. It's so fantastic to see those two play off of each other.
No, it is a joy. It is a joy. Yeah. And I like the X-Men reference too, because I've just been on a mission. We've watched the MCU the whole way through with the, she's almost 14. And I keep saying to her, like, we got to watch X-Men now. Let's do the X-Men series. You know, sadly, there's no Chris in X-Men. She doesn't realize it. She doesn't realize that, like, James Marsden is crush worthy. Right. And all that. Like,
No, the X-Men are my favorite comic book characters. So they have a special place in my heart. They didn't do as well as the MCU stuff.
But MCU wouldn't have happened if, right? Because X-Men sort of showed how a comic book movie could rise above and what they did in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. It definitely set the stage for comic book films in general. And, the first one was fantastic. And then the second one was even better. Yeah. And that's why I would put that at my favorite.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Robert, you went second. The first question. So now you get to go first on the second question, which is a film that's underrated.
It's so hard for me to think of, like, because these are all just like opinions, right? And I don't really know if it's the consensus that it's underrated, but it's more like, I don't know. I would just consider underrated maybe being like, no one really has watched it enough, and I could be completely wrong whether or not they have watched it or not, but it also is one of my more favorite films, but Saving Silverman. I don't know if anyone knows what this movie is. So it might just be more of like a unknown type of movie, but it's Jack Black, Steve Zahn, and Jason Biggs. And I watched it in high school, and it's one of those quiet comedies that are just so funny and so wholesome. And it's about a guy who is kind of a lovelorn kind of guy. Jason Biggs plays this character, and he's got two best friends, and he just wants to be in love and have a girlfriend and get married and stuff like that. And he ends up meeting this woman who is not good for him. And so his friends are like, we have to save him from this evil woman, right? Because she's ruining his life. So I guess now it's not going to play very well, but they basically try and break them up. They break them up. And in this case, they end up kidnapping his girlfriend, and then just hijinks ensues because they're like, we didn't mean to do this, but now we're here and she knows who we are. And so it's, and Jack Black is hilarious in this, and Steve Zahn is the same. It's kind of like Dumb and Dumber with a best friend involved. And
it's Amanda Peet, right? And she's like 10 times smarter than them.
Yeah,
Amanda Peet. And so you guys do know the film.
I remember it a long time ago.
And so the whole time that they've kept her, and they didn't like torture or anything like that, but they, they just kept her in their basement or whatever, and they would hang out with her and, give her food and whatever. But this whole time they're trying to get him to reconnect with the love of his life from high school. And so she comes into the picture, and it's one of those movies that I just really enjoyed, and it's just really funny. And my friends and I would watch it when we were in high school, and that kind of became a movie that we would just put in the background even when we're hanging out, because it was funny, and we really were in the Jack Black. So
excellent. Yeah. All right, Denise, you get to do underrated.
So a few years ago, Barry Jenkins created If Beale Street Could Talk, and it did. It was nominated several times at the Independent the Spirit Awards, but I just think that I want people to see this film. It's so beautiful. It's so moving. It's just such a human, visceral experience to see these two people in love, but have, you know, like them also have to live in a world where she, very different from Saving Silverman, romantic drama, where these two people are in love, Black Americans, and what the man is found guilty of something, or she spends time trying to clear the name, his name. But it brings to light a lot of things about our justice system and you know, discrimination and racism, and it's just so human and beautiful, and I think it's heavily underrated.
I remember when it came out, and to my discredit, I didn't see it. So now I need to see it.
I remember
when it came out, though.
It's beautiful, and the music. Oh my God, the music is brilliant. It's like one of those soundtracks that I can listen to while I work.
Soundtracks are, filmmakers always love listening to soundtracks, right?
Make sense. Memories.
All right. Well, your next one, and I know you're both very nice people, but overrated, you're not really insulting the film. You could love the film. You're just saying it's overrated because, you know, everybody says it's the best film ever, and it's not even that director's best movie or something like that. I'm trying to, you know, but feel free to say nothing's overrated. Sometimes people want to pass on this one, but if you got an overrated.
Thank you. No. You know, I'm just going to jump in here because.
Go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was literally like, I was having that same kind of like battle of conscience. Right. And I think I will say that I don't want to talk bad about film because I respect the filmmaking process like to the nth degree. And the fact that a film is completed is a miracle in and of itself. So yeah, I have opinions on certain films. There's certain things that I don't necessarily like, but I wouldn't want to just say like it's overrated because I think every film deserves to be taken a look at.
So fair enough.
That will be my answer.
I respect your answer. I'll also say that you could have said MCU because X-Men's better, but it's cool.
I'm going to go ahead and say mine. Sheesh. Yes, all the things about, it is amazing that people that, you know, films are made, and I respect the filmmakers that make them. I will say that I think that Promising Young Woman was overrated. And I have my own personal opinions about it they're personal. They're very, very subjective. But I was like, what? I don't know who this film is for. So, because it's definitely not for someone like me. That's how I felt about it.
I have to plead ignorance because I've had a screener of it for a long time, but I watch everything with my partner, and she, every time I'm like, let's watch that one. She's like, I don't really want to deal with that.
That one?
Yeah. As a woman, she doesn't really want to watch Promising Young Woman because she's heard enough about it to say she wants to watch something she's going to enjoy more.
I completely understand that. I was like really mad at the beginning of the movie, and I was like, I have to stop watching this. And then I paused it, and I was like, ugh, I have to see just like what, and then I finished it and I was even madder that I like watched the whole thing. And, but yeah,
I'm so glad I haven't forced the issue, because there's been times I wanted to tell her, look, we've got to, you know, I always want to be a completist on the whatever, however many they nominate for Best Picture these days. I think it was mm-hmm. 9 last year or this year. But yeah, I have some gaps because, but now thanks to you, I'll just watch it by myself someday when she leaves home. Of course, during COVID, I'm never alone. So anyway, last question, and whoever speaks first can answer it first, is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
Gosh darn. There's a movie. This is not going to be helpful at all, but I don't remember what the name of it is. I saw it at AFI Film Festival a few years ago, and it's a Korean film. I don't remember if it had an English title, but it's this girl who, it's a horror film, and she steals things, or she works in an underground. Anyways, not really important what she does. She gets locked in this case, but the way that they built the story was so visceral. I know that's the second time that like I'm clearly moved by visceral pieces of work. But that, I have to come back to you and tell you what that film is called, because I actually have tried to look for it. Maybe not that hard, but
is it Death Bell? Because I actually, as you spoke, since I was trying to be helpful, I Googled Korean horror film, a girl gets locked in a case.
No, it's not that.
Because Death Bell was 2008.
No, it's not that. I was like, no, I think I would remember
Death Bell. Is it Door Lock? Door Lock? That's another one that came up.
You know what? I'm going to have to think of I feel like I cheated this question, so let me think of another.
I have to admit, when there's some filmmakers have come in, whether it's in person or on Zoom here, and they've explored Korean cinema, and it's so good.
Yes,
and I've got none of it in my head. I've just seen Parasite and a couple of things that have been on Netflix. There was that really rad zombie one on Netflix recently or last year, but I just feel like such a bonehead when it comes to Korean cinema, because it's kind of after my time, and I just, you know, how am I going to watch 20 years of cinema?
It's so good. It's really so good. They're great at romance. They're great at horrors. Like, I'm like, oh gosh, the storytelling that is amazing. Okay. Now I'm going to look up the other, Rob, remember that other film that with the twin sisters, a Korean horror film with the twin sisters that we like we were inspired by for Forget Me Nots? Now I'm going to change my answer to that.
I don't even remember the name of it, but I remember.
I know, it's terrible. We're really not helpful right now.
All right, wait, let me Google Korean horror film twin sisters. That might come up.
Horror film twin.
Didn't Daniel show us this one? Like the Korean
A Tale of Two Sisters?
Yes, A Tale of Two Sisters.
2003.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got an answer.
Yeah, that is where we were inspired by that with the film to create our film too. So I recommend that. A Tale of Two Sisters, 2003, South Korean drama.
Excellent. All right, Rob, you're up. Lesser known.
Oh my gosh. If this is even lesser known, it won awards, but I don't know how many people saw it, but Sound of Metal, because it won for sound design.
Oh, that's, yeah, that one.
I'm glad you mentioned it. Everyone I talked to, like, you know, after Oscar, I thought that was my number one for the year. I just thought that was an amazing, amazing film. Amazingly acted, amazingly, everything about that film amazed me. And everyone I spoke to didn't see it. And I was
it's so good.
I was like, it was nominated for an Oscar. It's on Amazon. And it was like, haven't heard of it.
Riz Ahmed.
He is, He's amazing.
He's fantastic.
The Night of on HBO that he did. The Night of.
Yeah, the Night of.
Yeah, Night of. He's a fantastic actor, truly.
Yeah, the way he portrayed his hearing loss. Deafness, amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hearing loss is probably the better way to say it. Well, yeah,
that's why like that movie is so. Is so good because it really puts you into this, into his world. And that, I mean, I can totally see why the sound design was how they were, where they won their awards, was because those scenes where you heard what he heard and what he didn't hear was just, it was like back to this visceral thing. You really felt like anxious when you were, in that particular part of the scene. It's really just hard to explain, but that lack of sound, and it made your living room a vacuum. And your
no, it was 100% amazingly told, and the way the first person stepping into his worldness that they gave us was miraculous. It was such an amazing story,
and it was a simple story. You followed his journey of he just wanted $10,000 to be able to get his hearing back. But his trek to try and get this and cope with the hearing loss, try to get away from the hearing loss. And are we doing spoilers? Probably.
You can spoil someone else's movie.
Oh yeah. You know, like he goes and then realizes by the end, hearing loss is who, he's accepting his hearing loss, and actually if he's not hearing anything the way it's supposed to be heard, he doesn't want to hear at all, right? Because he gets a cochlear implant, and then by the end, he takes it off, and he just is at peace with no sound, you know?
Yeah, and his stubbornness to pursue that avenue of cochlear implants. Yeah, and just the fact, it was just, I just thought it was, also, how great was the music?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just imagine losing music when music is your life. It's hard. It's really hard to imagine.
He really was absolutely fantastic.
Yes. So
I might as well mention there's going to be a film at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in November called What? ? And it is about a deaf actor in Hollywood. It's shot like a silent film, like Charlie Chaplin era silent film, where people and every deaf character is played by a deaf actor. And it's about the struggles of a deaf actor auditioning for deaf roles all the time and losing out to hearing actors.
Oh, I definitely want to check that out.
I would love to check that out.
And it's fun and funny and well done. And I was like, wow, what a special film. Yeah. And the dude grew up in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, hometown.
What are you going to do?
Nice.
All right, so we covered deaf movies pretty well.
Yeah, I think everyone should check out that movie. It's a really great movie.
For sure. In fact, not to be picky, but I might want to reverse him and say, you're underrated as Sound of Metal, and people should seek out Saving Silverman. But hey.
I guess, I guess those questions kind of like, as we're talking, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, because Sound of Metal deserved Best Picture. It's underrated for sure.
That's true.
Who else was up that year? I don't remember. Was that last year?
Nomadland won.
Oh, that was, that was so good. God, that was last year. That was so good too. There were
Promising Young Woman, Nomadland, Jesus and the Black Messiah. Judas and the Black.
That was so great.
Yeah, it's hard to name them all.
Yeah, these questions, it's very difficult to answer these questions, especially when we love films and everything like that. There's always a film or a TV show that like strikes a chord one time, and then next thing you know, there's something else that kind of falls into that place, and it's just like, it all depends on the mood, I guess.
For sure. The questions are fun. Actually, I have a friend who's a professional drummer, and he's always going on Facebook and saying, name the most overrated band of all time. And then all his musician friends like start throwing shade at bands. And then he goes, name the most underrated band of all time. And I was like, I watch all this stuff, all these debates he sparks, and I'm like, oh, we should do that with movies. So it's kind of the idea, and it's kind of fun. Yeah. One day we'll have a get together for everybody, and I'll be able to point at one person and go, so that person's favorite film of all time is Dark Knight, and you're overrated as Dark Knight.
Convert. So,
well, let's wrap it up. Thank you both. Do you want to name your social media before we run?
Yeah. I'm Denise at Denise, D-A-N-I-C-E, Cabanella, C-A-B-A-N-E-L-A, on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm Rob on Instagram and Twitter at The Robert Santi. That's T-H-E-R-O-B-E-R-T-S-A-N-T-I.
All right, now I will wrap up. Before I name the social media handle for Discovery Indie Film, I'll ask again, give this podcast 5 stars. Go watch the TV series on Amazon and then give it 5 stars, or just go to Amazon.com and give it 5 stars. You should watch it first, but if you don't, I'll still take your stars, right? And if you want to learn about this podcast and the TV series that was born out of it, just go to discoveryindiefilm.com. And if you want to check out the social media for it, it's at DIFWINS. And Sherman Oaks Film Festival is where I met these two when they brought their film Forget Me Nots to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019. So if you want to learn about that festival, it's every November, and it's going to have this amazing film, what? And I think 65, 70 films in 8 days. Really stupid.
I can't wait.
It's crazy.
Very overwhelming.
But yeah, I am overwhelmed at this point. I'm going to need meth or something to make it stay awake. But you can learn about this festival if you go to ShermanOaksFF.com or on social media, it's at ShermanOaksFF. And it has a sister festival that is equally good, run by the same kind-hearted people every June in the same theater, and that's FilmInvasionLA.com, and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And now I have done my part for the sponsors. So, thank you, Robert Santi, and thank you, Denise Cabanella. Thank you both for hopping on to Zoom.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jeff.
And, yeah, and thank you, everyone who listened.